ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. In a busy campaign week for Donald Trump, days after the Secret Service thwarted a second attempted assassination attempt, authorities spotted a gun rifle sticking out of a fence near Trump's Florida golf course Sunday. That suspect later apprehended along an interstate. ABC's Pierre Thomas says security once again in question.
The U.S. government is facing a critical question, perhaps the most dangerous threat environment since 9/11. Does the Secret Service have enough? With this blunt assessment from President Biden.
Service needs more help.
Biden calling on Congress to do more as the agency deals with the threat of domestic terror, a surge in threats of political violence, and a resurgence of ISIS and Al-Qaeda in the wake of the Israeli-Hamas conflict.
At least 8 died in Lebanon, hundreds of others injured after pager devices appeared to explode across the country in what appears to be a coordinated attack. And severe storms and flooding, the concern in parts of the southeast all the way to the mid-Atlantic. This is ABC News. The fire from yesterday's massive explosion of a natural gas pipeline in Texas is still burning, and it also forced homes and businesses to evacuate.
Just before 10 a.m. yesterday, a white SUV drove through a fence and into a pipeline right-of-way. Witnesses say that when it struck an above-ground valve,
you could hear it. It was like, boom, and it was like so close.
The vehicle is still there. The driver never got out. An evacuation was ordered for the surrounding neighborhood.
I can just imagine, you know, how much damage we're going to have because we're too close to it.
The siding was melted from at least 5 homes closest to the blast site. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
More than 1,000 power outages were reported. For the first time in 113 days, the temperature in Phoenix should finally drop below 100 degrees. The city has been above 100 degrees since May 27th. Phoenix has also broken records for the number of days over 110 and 115. I'm Michelle Franz on ABC News.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
It feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Enrollment at the universities of Wisconsin this fall increased by more than 1,000 students overall.
That includes higher enrollment at 8 system universities, according to preliminary estimates based on first-day student counts. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman said the increase comes despite severe challenges caused by the disruptive rollout of a new free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, financial form, and a lack of funding for the Wisconsin Tuition Program. Rothman said closure of several branch campuses also likely had an impact. Enrollment is up by 1,058 students, with official counts to be released later this fall based on the 10th day of enrollment. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A new survey finds Wisconsin's child care industry is significantly understaffed.
The State Department of Children and Families Child Care Supply and Demand Survey shows nearly 60% of providers have unutilized capacity, such as closed classrooms, due to staff shortages. Providers would be able to serve up to 33,000 more kids if operating at full capacity. DCF Secretary Jeff Pirtle says payment cuts through the state's Child Care Counts program have had a ripple effect on the child care workforce. Governor Tony Evers included Child Care Counts funding to make the program permanent as part of his most recent budget proposal, but Republicans in the state legislature cut that. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Vice President Kamala Harris is headed back to Wisconsin.
The Harris campaign on Monday announced that the vice president will hold a rally Friday evening in Madison. An exact time and location have not yet been released. This will be Harris's fourth trip to the state since she launched her bid for the White House in July. This will be her second stop this year in Madison. Harris was in Madison back in March and visited a home on Madison's far west side where she lived as a child in the late 60s. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another hot and sunny one today, with high temperatures soaring to the upper 80s. The high heat and plenty of sunshine holds tight for tomorrow, too, as showers and thunderstorms start to push in overnight and into our Thursday. Chances return Thursday night and into our Friday morning with a wet weekend ahead. For severe weather stories, radar, and live storm chasing, visit severestudios.com. It's 77 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Preview the likely outcome and interest rate decisions. And there are producer comments from Nebraska to Ohio about the poor finish to the 2024 growing season. We'll dig into conditions and take a look at the start of the Brazilian planting season.
Live from the sunny side of the street via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics. Then it's Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. And directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you're joining us on this Tuesday morning. Wow, 74 degrees up here in northeast Iowa. The sun is shining, and we are headed for a high of 86 degrees today.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Going to get a little toasty up there.
Yeah. It's a long ways from setting any records, okay? But it also feels pretty warm for September 17th, doesn't it?
It kind of does. Yeah, a little bit.
Of course, you know, you live down there in the tropics and everything.
Well, the tropics, it's hot every day here. You know,
right,
this is hot every day.
Right.
Have you had to mow? This is the thing. When's the last time you mowed? Do you remember? Do you even remember? I don't even remember when's the last time I mowed. I probably said it on the radio.
I do remember. It was 3 weeks ago, and the only reason I did it was because I was going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and I thought, well, I better probably do it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be any longer today than it was then.
Yeah, in retrospect, you could have rolled the dice.
Yeah, I could have. I could have, absolutely. But it does look like there's at least a slight chance for rain come this weekend. Now, take a look at the radar right now. There are some showers in eastern Nebraska, northeast Kansas, and that kind of makes a stretch up into northwest Iowa. So there are some scattered showers out there, but I don't think they're expected to make it all the way over to us in northeast Iowa. So,
well, if you can convince anyone, we could use a little rain here in Kansas City.
I hear you, brother. I hear you, man. All right, let's get to some additional weather. Get the news started.
Indeed, we will start with the weather. An enhanced risk, that's a level 3 of 5, an enhanced risk of severe thunderstorms is forecast across portions of the central high plains this afternoon. Severe wind gusts of up to 70 miles per hour and large hail will be possible. While the PTC, let's see, Pacific Tropical, the storm they called 8 has dissipated. Additional heavy to excessive rainfall will be possible today across the mid-Atlantic, especially. Did I say especially? I am not off to a good start. Especially in southeastern Virginia. We were talking about La Nina and El Nino yesterday.
Right.
Surface temperatures in the central equatorial Pacific Ocean and atmospheric patterns remain within end zone neutral thresholds. Some atmospheric indicators over the Pacific have been more La Nina-like over the past few weeks, but it's uncertain if these conditions will sustain or build.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about with Dan Bossi when we get him on here, for Dan with Ag Resource, because it seems to be extending the dry season in Brazil, and we'll find out what Dan is hearing from the Ag Resource offices down there in Brazil.
Well, Chip, Vice President Harris's national lead over Donald Trump has increased to 3 points. That's up from 1.7 points pre-debate. However, the effects of a recent assassination attempt on Mr. Trump could shift attention away from the debate, potentially dampening Harris's momentum. The contest is tight in critical battleground states where no candidate leads by even a single percentage point in enough states to win the 270 electoral votes needed to win the presidency. That second apparent assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, Chip, has sparked some concerns about the adequacy of his security.
Yeah, this whole situation, Davis, it feels like the balloon has already expanded further than what we thought was capable. Mm-hmm. And we just keep pumping air into it, and at some point it's going to burst. It's unsettling, to say the least. But boy, oh boy, we need to get through this election and put it behind us and move on.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, U.S. retail sales overall edged up 0.1% in August, beating expectations. That's despite scattered sector declines. U.S. retailers apparently plan to hire around 520,000 seasonal workers for the upcoming holiday season. That's down from 564,000 in 23. This according to a report by Challenger, Gray, and Christmas provided to Reuters. The decline reflects tightening consumer spending and slowing job growth.
We'll talk to Vince about all that and what it means for interest rates.
Senate Democrats, led by Elizabeth Warren, urged Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, get this, Chip, to cut interest rates by 75 basis points this week. In a letter, they warned that being too cautious could push the economy toward recession and called for more aggressive upfront cuts to protect the labor market. Fed funds futures now imply a 65% chance of a half-point cut to the Fed's target rate tomorrow, and a 35% chance of a quarter-point cut. That's a flip from just 1 week ago, Chip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vince will have plenty of opinion on this one.
I would imagine so, yes. Yeah. House GOP leaders are struggling to pass a stopgap spending bill needed to avoid a government shutdown as the September 30 deadline looms for the beginning of fiscal year 2025. Oh, you're going to love this one. Quickly, the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, currently at a four-decade low, was heavily drawn down in 2022 when the Biden administration sold 180 million barrels to lower gasoline prices. Now, according to Bloomberg, the crude procurement fund is down to about $841 million, which would only cover around 12 million barrels. Gosh. The shortfall, Chip, is 320 million barrels.
Oh, my gosh. Where'd that money go?
Yeah.
We need wonder, to get an auditor in there right away. Thanks,
You're
Davis.
Not going to get an auditor in there.
It's bringing Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Mo. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, Chip.
Yeah, I love the features that you've got on the site right now, www.dairyherd.com. You've got your Milk Business Conference award winners up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're super excited. Second year that we're doing this. I'm actually going to head out to our Leader in Technology award winner this afternoon. It's GenoSource in Iowa. Eight families, Chip. They united to form this partnership. They milk 4,000 cows in a 90-stall rotary. They produce more than 18,000 embryos, just a lot of technology happening. Real quick, our young producer is up in Wisconsin, Perry Baton, and he went from like 70 cows to 700, basically all on his own. And then finally, our Employee Excellence award winner is Joaquin Beckes of Verclair Farms up in Wisconsin. And he's really been there for 14 years and now manages the herds and just really helps build a positive culture there at Verclair. So these three guys will come to Milk Business Conference in December in Las Vegas, of course. We'll have them up on stage. We'll recognize them. And, you know, Chip, I love writing all these great stories, but what an honor it is to recognize the excellence among our farmers and like these three individuals. So we're really excited about this.
Well, and that's one of the things that makes Milk Business Conference so cool, Karen. And I know you know this, but I got to say it. It's producers learning from producers at this event.
Amen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they want to hear from one another. And to have these guys up on stage, I mean, they're doing a lot of things right, obviously. And to hearing, you know, what they did and their journey, I can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool. Karen, thank you so much. We'll
Thanks,
talk to you
Chip.
Later.
Have a great day. Yep.
You too. Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Milk. Again, you can see more about Perry, GenoSource, and Joaquin there at www.dairyherd.com. All right, coming up next, we are going to preview the Fed meeting. Dr. Vince Malanga, President, LaSalle Economics, next.
Nearly 60%. That's how much of their food budget Americans spend eating out each year, according to the USDA's Economic Research Service.
Can I take your order?
To make sure dairy has a place at the table, the Dairy Checkoff partners with leading restaurants, developing dairy-centric menu items that have sold a total of 7.5 billion milk equivalent pounds since 2008.
All right, kids, what does everybody want?
Now that's making every drop count. Learn more at usdairy.com/4-farmers.
And one milkshake.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They're engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit firestoneag.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above-ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Are you prepared?
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long end to your crop. Learn how ESN works at smartnitrogen.com.
I'm sorry, I got to break in. Was she okay, Chip?
Yes, yeah, she was okay. Fine.
She made it?
After a while.
Yeah, well. Yeah, you're not just going to shake something like that off. Yeah.
No.
Sorry, everyone. Not. We were having, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Dr. Vince Malanga, President, LaSalle Economics, is our guest with the Fed going into a two-day meeting today. We need to preview what the likely outcome of that is going to be and some of the things that they're going to be talking about. Vince, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Chip? You got a lot of corn growing out there, I guess, huh?
No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. It may not be as much as what we thought it could be, say, a month ago, just because of a poor finish. But we'll talk with Dan about that coming up here in just a little bit. Dan Bossy. Vince, I got to tell you, when I saw those revisions to the past payroll numbers, you were the first one that I thought of, and I've been trying to wait for the right moment to get you on, and this feels like the right time to get you on here. Talk to me about those revisions. What all does it mean, and what does it mean to some of the projections?
Well, let's assume that the honesty prevails. It's, in a sense, it's bullish. Bullish for the economy and bullish for the lack of inflation because – if you take that many people out of the workforce, if you take that many people out of the number employed, but you hold output, i.e. GDP, the same, well, somebody's got to make up for it. It means there's less aggregate hours, so therefore there's more productivity. And if there's more productivity, there's less unit labor cost, and that's less pressure on profits and less pressure on inflation.
Okay. You know, you
now it also means that if the Fed was operating on the assumption that those original numbers were real,
yeah,
it means that they were tighter than they would have been otherwise.
So what does this do for their outlook going into this meeting?
Well, I think I don't think there's any question but that they're going to cut rates. The argument or the debate is over whether it's 25 or 50. My argument has been that they should have at least started cutting in July,
yeah,
and so therefore they could make up for that by cutting by 50. But I think they will not. I suspect that they'll go easy this time around and probably cut by 25 basis points. But I think just as important as what their immediate action is what their forecast is likely,
yeah,
to be. And I think they're going to present a forecast which argues for further rate cuts in the remainder of the meetings this year and probably in 2025 as well. So
okay,
on balance, I would expect them to show a forecast over the next 18 months that gives them something like 200 basis points lower on the federal funds rate than where it stands right now at this moment.
Okay. All right.
Now, in addition to that, I think what they're going to do, if not at this meeting, very soon, they're going to announce an end to their quantitative tightening program. Now, what they've been doing is a passive tightening by just letting the securities in their portfolio roll over without replacing them. I suspect what that will do will probably terminate that program. And since it's been largely biased toward mortgages, it should tend to narrow the spread between treasuries and mortgages, which would be good for potential home buyers.
Okay, that's a lot of outlook right there and a couple of holes that I want to fill in and go back on some of the things that you were talking about. First off, I know that you have always been more of a fan of the household job survey data than the Labor Department and the new non-farm payrolls numbers.
Correct, and this last revision was a case in point.
Well, explain the difference. Explain the difference.
Well, the payroll survey is just a survey of companies. It's a narrower survey. It asks companies what their employment totals have been over a particular period of time. The household survey is more of a telephone survey where it's a fixed basket. The household survey asks the question, are you employed, period. The payroll survey asks the company what its employment level is, but it doesn't account for the possibility that somebody is holding multiple jobs, multiple part-time jobs, or whatever. And I think that's the reason why it's inaccurate relative to the totals.
Okay. All right. And as you said, those revisions took the non-farm payrolls and lined it up with what you were learning from the household survey, correct?
Right. It's close.
Yeah.
They come into alignment, and that's been the case for several years now. You would think they changed their sampling procedures, but it is in better alignment with the household survey, and that's not a bad thing, but it's just that the market tends to pay a lot of attention to the payroll survey, and then it gets,
yeah,
flummoxed by the revisions.
Right, right. Okay. The outlook that you gave on the interest rates and 200 basis points lower at some point by the end of 2025, why? What's the economic weakness that you see that?
Well, I don't think it's a recession in the traditional sense of the word. I think the economy is likely to keep growing, although, much of what 2025 is going to look like is going to depend on the economic policies of the new administration. So talking about 2025 is a, you know, is putting your thumb in the air and trying to figure out which way the wind is blowing. But on the basis of what we know now, I don't think you have a recession out there. You're just going to have, you know, growth on the order of 2% or thereabouts. But inflationary pressures are going to continue to ebb. One of the reasons for that is that China is not going to stop exporting its deflation to the rest of the world. And the rest of the world is weak as it is. And so there's not much strong demand growth out there and a lot of potential supply. And I think that's going to keep downward pressure on prices.
Okay.
So if inflation is hovering around 1.5 to 2%, well, then a 5.5% federal funds rate just doesn't make sense.
Right.
The federal funds rate should be roughly 1.5 to 2% above the inflation rate. So if we're working at 1.5 to 2, we should be looking at a federal funds rate, the Fed's benchmark rate, at something between 3.5 and 4.
Okay, so if the Fed takes 2% off the Fed funds rate, what does it mean to the average farmer out there that's working with an operating loan?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a good thing. The whole structure now, to a certain degree, market rates have already been discounting this, and so market rates have been falling faster than the Fed has been cutting rates. But ultimately, there are also a lot of market rates that you and I borrow at that are very slow to adjust to changes. And so you'll see, you know, banks will lower their lending rate over time. Auto loan rates will come down over time. At the same time, and one of the most important things, is that a lot of homeowners can start to reliquify by refinancing existing mortgages at lower rates. And so it helps across the economy, you know, it helps reliquify the economy across a broad spectrum.
Yeah. Okay, so can the economy handle lower interest rates without reigniting some inflation?
Well, I think, you know, I think a lot of that's going to be dependent on what kind of economic policy we get in 2025. But by and large, I would say yes, because
okay.
I think productivity growth is stronger than being reported. And I think, therefore, the labor side of the ledger is not going to provide us with any inflation.
Okay. All right. What does all this mean for the fiscal condition of the U.S.?
Well, there again, I think a lot is going to depend on the outcome of the election. But on balance, the only way we're going to start to improve the fiscal condition of the country is by growing the economy. And the only way we're going to be able to grow, if we can deregulate the economy and let business operate without being fettered by all this government crap, we can start to reaccelerate the economy. If economic growth picks up, we're not going to improve the fiscal condition overnight, but it's a start.
Should we put some tariff on those deflationary products that we're bringing in from China?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, and I'll be writing about this. But if you look at China, if China were operating in a free market economy, what they should be doing is getting rid of all the excess capacity that they have. But they don't do that. Instead of getting rid of the excess capacity, they use it up by trying to export everything to the rest of the world.
Yep.
And so they don't play by free they don't play by free market rules. So
that's
one
right.
of the ways you combat
that's
that
right.
is by putting tariffs on everything that they're trying to export.
Dr. Vince Malanga, President, LaSalle Economics. Thank you, Vince.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination.
The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 22 to 23.86, November up 17 to 23.21, December up 34 to 22.04, January up 11 at 20.60. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly higher, but staying below the 40-day moving average on the technical side, as the traders are not confident that there's enough support fundamentally backing an aggressive move, technically at least, in the markets. Box beef prices were mixed. Hog markets moving higher. Technical buying is really helping to move the markets higher, even though pork cutout values for the midday were lower. October live cattle up $1.65 to $178.87. September feeder cattle up $1.87 to $243.17. October hogs up $1.85 to $81.77. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are slightly higher. Soybeans flat. Wheat markets are mostly mixed today. There is some dry weather that could be adversely affecting at least some early planting in Brazil, but really not enough to get the trade too concerned on the soybean side. We also have some harvest pressure creeping in and a little bit of technical buying at times on some of these dips. December corn now up one at 411 and three quarters. November beans, though, back to steady at 1004 and a half. December wheat down two to 576 and a half.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number two diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
On AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
There's a lot more we need to know.
An awful lot more.
That's yes. Why we keep asking questions.
We don't even know all of the things we have yet to learn, Chip.
That's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly mm-hmm. correct. Doesn't it leave you a little curious? About what we're going to learn next.
It makes me want to get up in the morning and chip away at not knowing things.
Amen, brother.
A little bit at a time.
Amen.
Yep.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Let's bring in Dan Bossi, founder of Ag Resource Company. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm really well, Chip. Hope the same for you.
You bet. You bet. Feeling good and trying to figure out exactly how this corn crop and bean crop are going to handle these late season conditions. And I mean, from Nebraska to Ohio, we're picking up some comments out there that the finish on the crop was less than ideal. Dan, what are you hearing?
No, I think that's right, Chip. I mean, if I go back and look at rainfall from the 15th of August to the 15th of September, we are the third lowest on record. And so it was dry. There were periods of heat, but overall there were some periods of coolness also. So that helped out a little bit. But it's the dryness that I think is going to bite into the corn fill a little bit and also maybe bite into soybean seed size. Okay. You and I know those top pods are the yield adders, if you will. Some of those may not fill to the degree that gives us comfort or a board, but we needed some rain and we just didn't get it as we look towards the end of the week.
So how have your crop thoughts changed? You were out on the road taking a tour the week before Pro Farmer Tour was on the road. Since you were out taking a look at the crop, how do you think things have changed?
I think they matured a little faster than I would have liked. Of course, we know accumulation of dry matter occurs when we have periods where crops are able to lengthen that time frame. When I was out there, and this is what surprised me of the USDA report last week, I was expecting pod counts and ear counts to be larger than they were. That was the big takeaway for me, that they were not as large as we thought they would be from your tour or from ours. And then where I really stumbled was that ear weights and pod weights, I mean, they're record large by a large degree. And so, you know, whether or not this finish allows that record large ear and pod weight is up for debate. And we've actually been trimming our yields. We think yields will come down in October from early data we're gathering. I need more data to determine the total degree, but I don't think we're going to stay at 183.6 or 53.2 by the October report.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the pod count data from Pro Farmer Tour this year led to a large national average bean yield estimate from Pro Farmer, and it was a bit surprising to me as well when I got back from a week off and took a look at some of the details in that production report. I was very surprised that the pod counts weren't better than what they were in the USDA report. So so if things back off some, Dan, on the national average yields for corn, for soybeans, as we get into the October crop production report, what do you think that might mean? And I know that we've got a long time. I mean, the last crop production report was just last week. Good grief. And we're already trying to figure out, you know, just how off it was. But what does this thought process do to the markets between now and the next production report?
It throws a little anxiety and a little confusion together in terms of what supply is. And so, you know, you and I will try to ferret out by watching some of the combine data that we get coming in, and there'll be enough of that every day to kind of, you know, go through and make some assessments. But even there, you know, you're going to have to accumulate some data to get into the first part of October, or maybe get harvest 35 to 45% completed before you can really put your arms around it. It's this pod weight in the late finish that I think is the biggest, or we think is the biggest risk for yield. Okay. And so, you know, again, we'll see how this comes forward, but I'm not getting enough soybean harvest data yet to really throw a stick. And it also tells us that maybe the best yields come on the early beans, and then we see a slide off on the late varieties. But like I said, let's watch the data and kind of tell us where we go.
Okay. This has been a developing, quote-unquote, joke over the past 3-4 years, Dan. When guys get in the combine, what do we always hear? You know, it's a little better than I expected. Well, it feels like a setup to finally hear, well, it's not quite as good as what I thought it was.
I think that's what we'll hear. It has been a joke ongoing because, yeah. You know, the other part of it is you never hear, nobody likes to report the bad yields, right? I mean, it reflects like, well, maybe I'm not as good a farmer as I thought I was. But but in this regard, I do think because crops are so good in general this year and we're coming off records, that we may hear a little more of, well, you know, that bean field yielded a couple bushels less than last year. That corn field didn't really average up. You know, interestingly enough, as you look at crop data, this was not a early planted corn crop. In fact, we categorize it in the late category. There's never been a record yield on a late planted corn crop. So this would be maybe a record breaker in that regards, if I can use record several times. But, you know, when we come around it, I wonder if that final U.S. corn yield will hang above the 180 level. We'll see how we go. But that's some of our thought process at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And when we go out on crop tour, we always talk about, hey, you know what? It's a discovery process. Let's let the discovery happen. This year, well, I think the final crop production reports are going to be a discovery process.
They will. They will. And if you and I really wanted to do our work right, we'd run out to the fields again somewhere in about another 10 days. We'd start pulling seed size on beans and corn weight and doing all that. But, you know, you only have enough resources to go once through the Midwest, but that'll be the next important thing to do.
Yep. Yep. I hear you. I hear you. What's going on in Europe? How's the finish of the crop in Europe?
Well, you know, Europe is a real dichotomy in different conditions. You've got some places like Budapest and portions of Romania, Poland, and down to Hungary where they saw a record amount of rain, nearly 8 to 12 inches, that is causing widespread flooding, and corn is getting hit the hardest in that area. Then you've got other areas that are extremely dry, more towards Italy and then up towards Central Europe. So it's a little bit of everything. Thankfully, some of Ukraine has caught a little moisture, but boy, the Russian wheat areas are still very dry. So depending upon who you want to talk to over there, you can kind of get a different story from each. But I think in a general sense, we're still seeing crops coming slightly lower. And that European corn crop may come all the way down to something like 57 or 58 million metric tons, which means that they'll have to take a larger share of their corn supply from Ukraine.
Okay. So is the Russian wheat price starting to reflect that, or is it still the cheapest in the world?
You know, that's one of the things we just can't figure out, which is why is the Russians holding their wheat price at around 216 a metric ton? And maybe to that sale last week to Egypt, we model it out to be something around 212. Why did they kind of drop so abruptly to get that tonnage? The world wheat market trade anyway is very strong, at least in the early first quarter of the year. So the Russians don't have to sell wheat at $217. French wheat is $30 higher than that. So it's a little mystifying to me why the Russians are so aggressive, other than maybe there's only one bank, I'm told right now, which is clearing Russian activity, and maybe they're concerned about sanctionings deepening, or maybe the war taking a different type of turn. But Russia's aggressively selling wheat, which is part of the reason why the world market in the last couple of days did a kind of a turnaround and said, hey, if the Russians aren't rallying, why do we need to? And that's kind of where the wheat market is today.
Okay. Well, the wheat price is going to be just as important to watch as the harvest results from Russia. There's no question there. Talk to me about the planting season in South America. Seems a bit of a slow start.
Yeah. Yeah, it's slow. I mean, when you think about the drought that is now the worst in 30 years, soil moisture, you know, on the floor, they really haven't had meaningful rainfall across northern and central Brazil. Looking backwards since the later days of May, let's call it Memorial Day, and it's been very warm. Temperatures are now back to the 90s and 100s, and so farmers, our farm clients down there are just telling us we're waiting for rain to plant. And in fact, some of them are even telling me we're waiting for rain to plant, and we need to have at least 100 milliliters, which call it 4 inches, before seed will even germinate. And so until that happens, they will just hold off on planting unless they're irrigated. And there's very small sections of northern Brazil that are irrigated. So with that in mind, it's a concern, something we'll watch very carefully. The biggest impact will be on the winter corn crop, Safrina. Do we get soybean seed in the ground early enough to open up a window for winter corn? If not, the Brazilian farmer will say, I'm just going to plant one crop this year because Safrina's not making them any money anyway. So they'll kind of go at it that way. But that would be important longer term for the U.S. heading into the new growing season next spring.
How do you feel about this pattern that is in place in Brazil? Does it stick around?
You know, my weather guy believes it sticks around till maybe the last half of October, and then maybe there's a change. But, you know, again, we know weather people are only good for 2 weeks, Chip, and we'll leave it at that. But we'll watch it very carefully because I think it's going to be an increasingly important factor for the market.
But there's not a lot of relief in the next 2 weeks.
There's nothing there. Nothing at all. Yeah. Zero. I mean, there's going to be no planting until we get into October in northern and central Brazil. They are planting in Paraná southward. But again, we need northern Brazil to really feed the northern arc when they start their export program in late February, March.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a good point on that Safrina corn crop. And the thing is, we're growing season away from even putting that in the ground.
And it's a long
ways away, but what's happening today is going to have a major impact on how many acres they're going to plant to that winter corn crop down there. Dan, great update, man. Thank you so much for making time.
Be well. Talk to you again, Chip.
You bet. You bet. Dan Bossi, founder, Ag Resource Company. We will definitely talk more about crop conditions and what's going on in South America this afternoon on AgriTalk with Brian Grady from Pro Farmer.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
More moisture, more money, no problems with the End Zone Bin System from Farm Shop MFG.
You save your money on your crew. You don't have to have them coming out to start your fans and turn them off. And it's free money you're adding back to your crop. Who doesn't want to add more money back into your crop?
Call 712-520-6061.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here along with Chip Flory.
Yeah, man. I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, just a little programming note. Shameless plug for everyone's favorite podcast. All the kids are talking about it these days, Chip. It's the Grow Getters podcast.
Yes.
Featuring yours truly. I'm taping an episode today with a Michigan farmer who has reverted to growing ancient grains and makes food out of it that they sell. I'm going to find out all about it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Have you heard of, yeah. They're growing teff. Are you familiar with teff?
No.
I've never heard of it before.
No.
We're going to find out all about it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to a podcast to learn more about it.
And I will say, just to tease a little bit more, they do have a flavor. It's seasonal, called Pumpkin Perfection.
Stop it.
Stop
it.
Now you're tempted. Now you're tempted. Go to YouTube, look up the Grow Getters podcast. Check
Can
out.
Can you make your, pumpkin bars out of it?
You could. You could. Yeah.
Okay.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt.
I might be interested then.
Yeah, a little later on today. That'll drop, I don't know, in 2 weeks, I think, it'll come out. Okay. So we're taping it today. Exciting stuff. I wanted to jump into something from the news here, because when Malanga says, grow the economy via reduced regulations, this might be a bit of a reach, but this was in the news, and I didn't get to it. The land of Cuba has reduced its subsidized daily bread ration. Subsidized daily bread ration from 80 grams to 60 grams. That's roughly the size of an average cookie. Now, I don't know what an average cookie is, but I'm guessing they don't mean Mrs. Fields' size.
No.
Right. Reflecting the nation's deepening economic crisis and food shortages. Dude, subsidized daily bread ration. Are there any more frightening words in the English language, dude?
Oh. I mean, when Egypt had issues with their daily bread rations, it led to the Arab Spring.
Yep.
That's with exactly right. Uprisings all across North Africa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If Cuba runs into a problem, there will be uprisings in Cuba. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Boy, that is scary. That is something that we need to dig into and figure out exactly what is going on there.
Now, Cuba was kind of coming into, you know, what I might air quote the modern world from a bit of a deficit because of the sanctions and all the, you know, it was a closed country there for a while, at least to us. And then we opened it up and now we've got subsidized daily bread rations. Dang. Yeah. Okay, I got to talk to you about this too. Elizabeth Warren and a group of others sent a letter to Jerome Powell saying, "Bro, you got to cut rates by 0.75%, a 0.75 rate cut." Malanga here is
something.
There's a couple of things. Number one, that comes pretty close to ripping a Band-Aid off. Feels like.
Yeah.
And number. Number two, do I want the government telling the Fed what to do? I thought the Fed was supposed to be a non-governmental organization.
Exactly, exactly. So what did that just do for Jerome Powell?
Well, it
took
him
a three-quarter point.
It
took a three-quarter point rate cut off the board, completely off the board. When you've got Elizabeth Warren coming out and saying, listen, you need to cut it by three-quarters. Now, the other thing is, even if the governors think that it should be a three-quarter point cut, which I don't think that they would agree, you know, find agreement
on. I wouldn't think so.
But if they did, they would have to do one of two things. They would either have to go half point or go a full point, which would send a panic signal through the entire market.
What a mess.
Yeah, so stay in your lane, Lizzie.
Well, and let's explore the scenario where they do cut 0.75%. At that point, do we say, aha, we gotcha?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what they need to avoid now.
Yes, I would
agree.
That
there is that connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, she ruined it. She limited their options, is what that letter did.
Well, maybe she did it on purpose. Take it off the table. So, and then the logical step is, well, we'll just go a 0.5% at the most at that point. Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's interesting.
I don't know either.
Yeah, we shouldn't be thinking out loud on the radio. It's boring. We've got third lowest precip in finishing. During the finishing period for these crops on record, I didn't catch the actual time period, but we're talking about what's led up till now.
It flashes me back to 2010 and the finish on that 2010 crop. Now, there are some other issues that I think might have been in play on that 2010 crop after they way, way, way overestimated the 2009 crop. But it's the same kind of thing. And the corn crop in 2010, I know conditions are different. Hybrids are different. Management different. All of that different. But in 2010, from August to the final, that corn crop was cut. I'll have to go back and take a look at the numbers very specifically, but I do know that the final estimate compared to August was way, way, way lower. Way lower. I'll go back and take a look at what the actual numbers are. But that's the kind of finish that I think we're going through on this 24 crop. It's not just less than ideal. It's far from ideal. On the finish on this crop. So,
yep.
All right. All right. We're gonna talk more about that this afternoon when we get Brian Grady in here from Pro Farmer. The whole issue here with this crop is important. We talked about it yesterday with Mark Holbrook. You take 100 million bushels off the supply side of the balance sheet, it probably comes off of ending stocks now because of what they've done to the demand and the demand outlook here going forward. So we'll talk more about that this afternoon with Brian Grady. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have a free-for-all right here on AgriTalk.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are.